Anyway.
You're invited to partner with the SID Media team in our School Shoes and Stationery 2024 project. We will be making a lot of children smile in January at the start of the school year with your help. So come along and partner with us in buying the following items: pens, pencils, rulers, school shoes, and sanitary pads. The drop-off point is at SID Media Studios, 8 Viceroy Link, Route 21 Corporate Park, Centurion. Or you can make a donation to Standard Bank, account number 415-215-161, branch 051-001. Reference, school project plus your name and surname. Check out our social media pages for more information. Let's join hands together and put a smile on someone's face.
All right, we are back. They can hear me properly now. We have I don't even know how to call him, yes. The vruvaya of our discussions. We have Basani and we have the great debater, Mr. Nayelu Pondwana Utiena. He sticks to the text. I can't end up about anything else. And we have Milson Shem, the mighty dynamite. All right. So this is the question that I'm asking. And this came out because something happened on off air. And then now my circle of friends are coming here. So guys, what I want to ask, is dating in the Bible? Because we know that we are having a lot of people who are in relationships and then they get hurt and then certain things happen. And then when this came up, Naya was like, no, dating is not in the Bible. Sithola pileyo nto leyo, because wena, you are supposed to say, Basan, I am ready. And then Basani, you know, he says, yes, come, let us be merry. And you know, we don't know how Joseph is. I think that's how Joseph and Mary were together. But Holy Spirit, you know, shired Joseph 2 feet before everything else. But let's start. Naye, I'm going to start with you. Is dating in the Bible?
So perhaps we might need to define what we're talking about when we're saying dating. And I like the fact that you cringed when you said mjolo. Because that's exactly what it is.
Yes.
When we're talking about dating, we're talking about two human beings deciding we're going to play marriage. Mm. We are going to play marriage.
Okay.
And that's something that is not encouraged or ever exemplified in the Bible. Mm. There is nowhere in our scriptures do we find people playing marriage.
Okay.
When you're going to have a person of another gender, and that's the only way we can talk about marriage in our context, a person of another gender, and you're going to spend time with the intention that we are going to do things that are mirroring what we're going to be doing in marriage, there is no such thing in the scriptures. In the scriptures, from the original design, we find Adam and Eve. Adam sees Eve, he decides, this one is my wife. Mm-hmm. End of story. He doesn't have a courtship. He doesn't have a month or two or a year before they decide they are going to be married. He decides, this is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, you shall be called. And it begins and ends there. The Bible moves straight from their introduction to calling them husband and wife.
Okay.
That's Genesis chapter 1 and 2, chapter 3, right? We have now the father of faith, Abraham. Mm. With the father of faith, we are told that Abraham had his wife, Sarai, who was his sister, half-sister. Mm. There was no courtship there. They grew up. They decided we're going to be married. His son, Isaac, decides, I am going to be a boy, a mama's boy. Mm. We don't know how he decided he's going to do that. But what we know is that Abraham decided, I'm going to send Eliezer to go and find my son a wife. Mm. He sees Rebecca from a distance. He falls in love, takes her to his mother's tent, makes love to her, and that was marriage.
Okay.
It began and ended there with Isaac. Step down. We have these two boys, Jacob and Esau. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not going to talk about Esau because that's the root of Amalek, and we're going to talk about some other day. But with Jacob, he runs away from his brother to his uncle's place, Laban. Mm. There he falls in love with a woman named Rachel. Mm. He decides, I'm going to marry her. Mm. Doesn't have mjolo with her. He decides he's going to marry her. He doesn't court her. He decides he's going to marry her. And he lets Laban know, I'm going to marry your daughter. Laban says, fine, you can have her 7 years. Mm. after 7 years, he's
there
given.
There was Mjolo.
No. let me remind you. In the 7 years, he was in labor. He was working there. He wasn't jolling. He was working. Mm. So that process of labor, I can understand how you're saying that was Mjolo. Mm. However, he was therefore as working to earn what his right to marry her.
Mm.
But when he got married, he wasn't given the one he was quote unquote jollering with.
Mm-hmm.
He was given Leah.
Mm.
So we can say for a fact that the first marriage between Jacob and the first wife, there was no Mjolo at all. He met her on the night of the wedding.
Mm.
And then a week, literally a week down the line, he was given the one he had intended, which is Rachel,
mm.
which he later on worked 7 years for, right?
Jolad. Mm-hmm.
Well, he married her.
Yes.
He was given her as a wife 7 days after the first marriage.
Mm.
So what I'm suggesting to you, when you look at all these marriages in the text, there was no Mjolo, there was no dating. It was a decision that was taken aforehand. No one plays house in the Bible. You don't play marriage in the Bible. It's either you decide or you don't decide. This premarital thing doesn't have any place in Scripture. Same applies with the Messiah's parents. There was no Mjolo there. It was decided by the parents. That one is going to marry Joseph. End of story. When time came for her to get married, she was given to that one. End of story. There was no Mjolo there. There was no dating there. So while we can say it makes sense to date, there is no biblical basis for it.
Millicent, do you agree?
I mean, there are things I agree with, but there are things I actually don't agree with. Because for me, how it started out then is with Naya saying marriage is a scam.
Mm.
And I'm like, hey, Banna, marriage is a scam, Kanti. Then why do people date? You can't be dating for fun, right? As a Christian, when you get into a relationship with someone, I believe, as like at least for me, you have to be dating with a purpose. This must of be marriage. Intention for mm. that. Yeah? Now, the definition of dating is quite broad.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree, premarital sex is not something that we advocate.
Mm-hmm.
Vele, vele, fornication is wrong. The same way that adultery is wrong. Mm-hmm. No one disputes that.
Mm.
Where I disagree with Naye is now in saying that we cannot be hanging around together, sonke, as friends, just getting to know each other. And from there, then a person decides, you know, I actually like this person's personality. I think we click. We are compatible. I would not have a problem courting her, going exclusive with her. And that does not mean that you have to start heavy petting.
What?
No, you don't. You mustn't. You mustn't do those things. You must really reserve for marriage. But I don't think it's a problem when you're getting to know each other as a circle of friends. And that's where Naye was saying, that is the problem, this thing of, hey, circle of friends, it was arranged. Mina, Jonga, people who are in arranged things in our day and age are busy going and asking for advice on other radio stations because, as you say, Benzi, 1 month of just getting to know a person, jiggy, you are pagati inside. How many people are narcissist? One gaslighter. Oh, what guys? Please, we're not going to do that to each other. Like, this is the 21st century. Number one, number two, me, I don't want my parents. I can accept a person saying, you know, mang, ikarutla otwanela. That's a good. They wise. There's nothing wrong with that, but to just decide wuti 1, 2, pa, it's going to happen no matter what. Rino, no, my friend, sorry.
Pasani, when I know you are a readist, what are your thoughts? Dating, not dating, biblical, not biblical?
Dating is not biblical. Dating is a very new concept, actually. It's a new concept that came with us trying to now deal with the situation of now trying to still procreate. However, we're in environments where we can no longer, you know, do what we used to do back in the day. So again, there's no amount of time. There's no amount of time you can date a person to try and learn them, you know, and actually learn them. It's a fad. It's something, it's commercialized basically. It's a commercialized way of thinking of love.
But Zanella, isn't that the reason why then it should just become friends? Learning each other, chilling as friends is—it's us getting to know each other, just like in the workspace. I get to know your personality, Zanella, because I work with you. I get to know Ubazani. I've got views about all of you here, you know, because we spend time with each other, we see each other, we hear each other's views and all that stuff. For me, that's how it's not, you don't have to be exclusively in a dating relationship with a person. You must first get to know the people in friendship. There's nothing wrong with that. And that's where I was disagreeing with you. You must just meet umuntu guy one inje and then you get married. No. Get to know the people. Be friends with the people. Don't trifle with hearts. And I did mention that as well. That I mustn't play with your heart and give you the intention of Uzi. I'm going to be with you. I'm with Sipo. No, that's wrong. I mustn't do that. You know? But just platonic friendships. Then, unless you guys are saying platonic friendships don't exist, but guys would probably say that because young guys are dirty.
Zanana's question was not about platonic friendships. Zanana's question was about dating.
That's because she's using that terminology. I'm bringing in another one.
Yeah. So, the big issue is friendship is not a problem at all. We see a lot of friendships in the scripture. And what I was suggesting is, as far as the relationships, umjolo or dating, that has no biblical basis. And I think what you have missed with what Ubazana was talking about is that you can say, let's get to know one another. But even to date, people who have been married to each other for 50, 60 years, they will tell you, I don't know my wife. There is no time, therefore, that's the point he was making, that you can say, it's sufficient for me to get to know somebody. People discover each other 50 years down the line, sure. They decide, I'm divorcing this person. I didn't know this. 50 years down the line. So to set a timeline and say, I want to get to know this person, you're scamming yourself because you're never going to know a person. So
let me ask this then. Are we, okay, so you two are basically agreeing, right? And then Millicent is like, no, we must date, right? So are you suggesting that we should maybe go back to how things were done in the olden days so that we can avoid this mjolo as a pandemic things. We should avoid having people's hearts being blended, you know, grilled, being hurt, going into marriages being hurt because I've jolad with three people and yes, and they showed me flames. And now in my marriage, I'm struggling because of the past hurts. Are you two gentlemen suggesting that, yes, and maybe sometimes we can just go back to how it was? For example, Tembo, now when he reaches the ages of 21, and I'm like, Tembo, Millicent has a daughter. You're going to marry Millicent's daughter. He doesn't even know her. He doesn't even know what her personality is like and everything.
I want to remind you something that I hope you already know, that in the Bible, there is no prescribed reason for getting married. The Bible doesn't say you must marry somebody you love. The Bible doesn't say you must marry somebody you trust or any of those things. There is no prescribed reason for getting married. I tell you now, when God prearranged the marriage of one Adam to one Eve, he didn't say, this is the reason you should get married. So people getting married aren't getting married because of their hearts. This idea of people's hearts being broken because of X, Y, and Z is another misnomer. You get broken because you're disappointed. And you get disappointed because you had an expectation.
But
you're allowed to have an expectation.
Well, that's not a biblical suggestion. You can do it if you want.
Adam and Eve, please, bone of my bones. Hey. Okay. He looked at her. He saw a beautiful woman. That was reason enough for him to want to be with her because, I mean, he was already like, girl, she's a flame. And he was happy. Did he complain and say, God, I don't want to be in this situation? He didn't complain. He was very happy to be in that situation until
this wife you
the
gave
sun
me.
Exactly, he didn't complain.
Until. Guys, don't be disingenuous. I don't be this like that. Until the sin came in. Before sin, everything was hanky-dory. Don't lie. Don't lie to the people.
Let's go back
Please
to the Bible.
Don't.
Let's go back to the Bible. When you read the story of Adam and Eve, you see Adam and Eve having a very unorthodox marriage for people coming from the hands of God. This woman decides she is going to go and take her husband with her and have consorts with the snake. And then takes the advice of the snake against the will of God. And take the fruit, give it to her husband who was there. That's what the Bible says. Who was there with her. And that's where we see disobedience there. Before there was sin, before there was anything, these problems. And that's why Adam says, it is the wife you gave me. And by the way, God had not even given an instruction that this is what's going to happen. He was still conducting an inquiry when he said, because you listened to your wife, this is what's going to happen to you. So the complaint, Basane, is absolutely correct. It came before God cast the judgment.
I'm still memorizing the three angels' message. Nay, I know you're the Bible encyclopedia there. Pastor Maforo is saying there that it says, for this reason, a man will leave, meaning Uguti, there is a reason why we get married.
Yeah.
Well, it in my opinion.
Yeah, okay. Pastor Maforo is forgetting one thing about the text. Let's remind Pastor Maforo what he is forgetting. The text reads very, very clearly. And by the way, we know that the text that says for this reason doesn't come from the time it was written. Pastor Maforo is fully aware that there was a parenthetical insertion into the situation. When Moses narrates what happened between Adam and Eve, he was not there. He's simply telling you, this is what happened. And he says then, post-scripto, he then says, for this reason, a man shall leave his husband. Because at the time, Adam didn't have a husband, a father. Eve didn't have a mother. There were no parents. There is no way, therefore, that Adam could have left his parents because he didn't have a parent. We talk about parents because it was written post facto. So Pastor Maforo is fully aware of that. I'm not quite sure how he would bring that.
If God created sexuality, and sexuality is something that must be experienced in marriage, because God doesn't change, right? He's the same yesterday, today, tomorrow. If you say, okay, sex is marriage, I get that the idea of the consummation should, like, you know, but biblically, yeah, you're supposed to now stay with that person forever and ever and ever and ever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know how people are doing things nowadays? It's wrong, sharp, it's wrong, we get that. But I think that God did create marriage with the intention for us to fully experience all aspects of life. That's why he even said, one of the reasons, not the only one, procreate, you know, be fruitful and multiply is one of the reasons. And there are so many others.
Yeah.
If the Bible is inspired and you go to Songs of Solomon and all those verses, and the Bible is fully inspired. If you go to Paul, if you have the fire is burning and you can't hold yourself, Jonga. For me, from the very beginning, it's still the same narrative, maybe narrated differently according to people with different experiences, but it's still the same thing.
Yeah,
no, okay. let's try and take everything out of it, you know, of this equation, and talk about what the Bible describes as marriage. Uh-huh. Right? It says, and the two became
one.
Mm. Right. Mathematically, 1 + 1 is 2.
Two.
Yeah. This 1 + 1, how then does it become 1?
Because you are joined.
It's 1 × 1.
How is it joined?
Oh, yeah, Nazok. It's 1 × 1.
No. It's these two individuals that come together and form one thing, right? So 1 drop of water + 1 drop of water. How many drops of water do you have?
One.
1 drop of water.
Mm.
Yeah. It's not 2 drops of water.
No.
You can't divide it to 5 drops of water?
You can.
You can. But it's 2 water. It's still 1 drop of water.
Aye, man.
Okay. 1 drop of water. How about 1 drop of water + 1 grain of sand? You have 1 drop of water and 1 grain of sand. Meaning that if you are 1 drop of water and your partner is 1 drop of sand, you guys will never mix. It will never happen. You are going to remain. Your sand does not dissolve in water. You're going to remain water. He's going to remain sand in whatever mixture you guys are creating there. Fast forward to, let's say, you are salt, your husband is water.
Meat.
Fine, yeah, let's say meat. You guys can come together and make a nice roast.
Yes.
Right? Your nice roast. Meaning that, and then, again, if we're going to follow that equation that everyone comes to one, everything sums up to one thing that works as a one, it means that you can add more than one.
Okay.
Or more than two.
Okay. You have started. You have what? Started. Wait, Naya, let me come back. Let me quickly come back to you. You as we try to wrap it up quickly, you said that there is no reason for marriage, right?
No, there's no prescribed reason.
Prescribed reason.
Yeah, there are a lot of reasons, but none of them is prescribed.
So are we, if there is no prescribed reason for marriage, does it mean that now we have to go and multiply outside of marriage?
I'm not sure I understand what you mean by that. Explain.
Okay, so how I understand it, you get married so that you can multiply, have children, basically.
That's one of the reasons.
Right.
Yes.
So is that a prescribed reason or is it not? And if it is not, does it mean that I can just have a marriage out of wedlock? That is okay.
Marriage out of wedlock.
Children
out of wedlock.
Yes.
Okay. So we do see, as far as children out of wedlock being a proliferated practice in the Bible,
mm-hmm.
the father of faith, for example, I keep on making these examples of these patriarchs because they are indisputable.
Mm-hmm.
The father of faith has children. His first child was out of wedlock.
Mm.
His first child, which is Ishmael. Now, he has a child with a quote-unquote concubine, which is Hagar.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if we can safely say children are the problem. And quite frankly, I don't know if the concept of out of wedlock is well defined. Because in the Bible, we see a lot of children. The entire nation of Israel is born out of children that are in wedlock and out of wedlock.
Mm-hmm.
When we speak of Rachel and Leah, those were in wedlock.
Mm.
But when we speak of Zilpah and Bilhah, they were out of wedlock.
Mm-hmm.
But altogether formed the nation of Israel as we have it today. And God has no problem with the children. What God has a problem with is fornication and adultery. We know for a fact that there was no fornication or adultery between Zilpah and Bilhah and their husband because they were concubines, which is a relationship that was acceptable at the time, even though it was not within wedlock.
Mjolo.
No, not a mjolo. That's another
Wait,
level.
Wait, now it's coming back. It's coming back somewhere.
Yeah.
With that example that you have given.
Yeah.
These people were not married.
Correct.
Right. They didn't, the mother didn't see and like, hey, there
Absolutely.
Is your person.
Absolutely.
So how did they have sex?
Yeah. So it was.
They just woke up and like, boom,
so
fall.
This is the language that is used today, even though it's not the same language that was used in the Hebrew, which is called a concubine. A concubine is a wife-like person. Not a wife.
Not a wife.
No.
Wife-like.
No.
A wife.
No, not a wife. So a concubine is a person, is a woman who has been committed to one man, even though she's not married to that one man.
Yazi, I'm a totasil. Yazi, I'm a totasil, guys. And that is why they continue dribbling us and doing funny things, because they have taken Uguti, these people in the Bible are their example. And therefore, even though, and even that word that you use, acceptable, that connotation is wrong. Hakunanto acceptable about sex before marriage. They were not married. They were not married. And even that, I know it goes into the whole polygamy thing. Polygamy. Guys, I believe God's intention was for everyone to be fully happy. And if the wife is not going to be happy with having another sister whom she must share with you, ni wrong. And also just the idea that it's okay because they did it, now we can also do it. Basani and Naye, guys, can I please advertise something on my show, guys? I just want to let you know. As you can see, Uguti, the problems are a lot in Southern Africa. We are going to start every single month, once a month, and I will invite them. When I invite you, don't say no. I'm a daughter. Don't say no. I'm going to invite the brothers. And we are going to have something that we are going to call the gender talk. I'm going to tell you more about it tomorrow. But in essence, for those of you who will not be locked in Ksasa, what we want to do, as you can see, I'm alone here. Zanele is facilitating. The guys have their own ideas of stuff. Everyone is like...
Marriage-like.
Mm-hmm. and I want us to have this thing of... You know, men and women trying to understand each other. How about that Tamona, they call us names, we call them names because we are just completely misunderstanding each other. So I'm just inviting you, ne, to stay tuned. On the weekend, guys, don't play music the whole morning. Listen to AWR. We're going to have this conversation. It's going to be called the Gender Talk. I want to understand guys more. And I don't know if they want to understand us more. Maybe they don't care, but it doesn't matter. So that, you know, at least as ladies, we are more informed about the other gender. Just come and join me. Maskulumen.
Before you, I know you have a quote there as we wrap it up. But for me, what's quite interesting, ladies and gentlemen, is that we first defined it, Uguti Umjolo, it's marriage-like. Right? But you mentioned something like that.
No, I said it's playing marriage.
Oh, playing marriage. Correct. Like. Mm, and then now a concubine is also playing wife.
No, it's not playing wife. She is playing.
Mistress.
She is. No, she is.
She is serving the role of a concubine.
Semantics, synonyms. Inje, please.
Okay,
can I just read a text for you?
Yes, please.
And I'm saying this with the respect to my sister here who feels Matoda Arong Astrablisha. This is not a man thing.
Mm.
This is a God thing.
Okay.
And I want us to take our focus away from men and listen to what God says. 2 Samuel chapter 12,
mm-hmm.
verse 8. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 8. Now, I'm going to give you a bit of a background here, which you all remember. David takes another man's wife. That's adultery. And God is upset with David taking another man's wife. But when David took other women, God was not upset. He's only upset when David takes another man's wife. How do we know this? Mm-hmm. He sends the prophet Samuel to tell him the story of the man who takes another man's sheep. Mm-hmm. And then he makes a statement that many people tend to overlook when they want to counter-argue this idea. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 8 reads, "I gave your master's house to you." May I remind you, the master's house had 3 or 5 concubines at the time. That's Saul. Saul had about 3 or 5 concubines. I'm not quite sure. "And your master's wives." This is God speaking through Samuel. "I gave you," God says, "I did this. I gave you wives," plural, not dribbling men, "into your arms. I gave you all Israel and Judah. And if all these had been too little, I would have given you even more." Even more what? Even more countries. Even more wealth. Wives. Even more wives.
And concubines.
Even more concubines. All of these, God says, if all this was too little, I, God, would have given you even more. May I respectfully suggest, this is not a man dribbling women thing. This is God who's saying,
God, amen.
This is God permitting that I allowed you to have these wives, but now you go and take another man's wife. Now that is not acceptable. And God brings death and calamity into the house of David, not because he was having polygamy or concubines, but because he took another man's wife and killed that man, and death came into his own family. So may I suggest again with respect, this is not a man thing. This is God, according to Samuel, speaking his mind.
Millicent is about to, if looks could kill, that's what they say, if looks could kill, Naya would have died a million times now. Okay, guys, thank you so much for coming. I know I hijacked all of you in one answers to this question as we wrap it up. Do you think we should go back to arranged marriages, Basan?
No.
Naya?
Yes.
Definitely not. No, we're not doing that.
Wow, this is actually quite nice. You know, one day we must have a chilled Sinai. I'm just suggesting, yeah, where you're not going to bombard us with scriptures, but we have this kind of talks. We are
get asking, to know each other.
We're humbly asking for this kind of ones. I've never seen Millicent so much fired, you know.
Such
conversations,
calm.
You know. You see, okay. Like Sinai.
I will invite you, Zanele. I will invite you.
Mina, as long as you don't quiz me on scripture, Jay, it's fine.
This is Adventist World Radio.
I know. Guys. No, I don't want
we're
you
not
to.
General
I don't,
practitioners.
No, I don't, ooh, want you to ask me.
We are specialists. Yes, in Bible-based content.
Exactly.
No, he would invite me to Sinai, and then he was like, "Was Peter married?" This. Whoa. Me, I will tell you what I think about marriage, not what Peter or Paul saying. If you can't keep it zipping
you
up,
mustn't manipulate,
go and get married.
So, I invited some of our contemporaries here. I'll talk about music. They said, "No, I'm not ready, I'm not ready to come and talk about music." But I understand the context. You want to have a chilled Sinai without... Fine.
We'll bring in scripture here and there. That's the thing.
I really do hope so.
But not the way in which you interrogate. You see, Millicent is fired up about this thing because we must... Okay, so on a serious note, we must discuss about this as much as, yes, we're leading people to Christ, but Oksala, we know that Umjolo is
it's
a pandemic.
That is a real thing.
Absolutely. There's dating in the church, there's dating outside the church. So we need to discuss it as well as Christians.
Correct.
And give that advice that is out there. Uguti, was it about a circle of friends?
Before you find yourself with a narcissist, baby girl, don't do that to yourself.
What, you know, such things, what do those such things mean? Anyway, so here, last comment that came through: I believe that marriage, pre-arranged or otherwise, is a beautiful thing. So marriage is not a scam now. Yeah, thank you guys. As I go and
thank you, listener. Thank you, listener, for wrapping it up.
As we wrap it up, thank you to my people that I came through in studio, and we're going to be calling person for in a while. There are arguments, by the way, that I must state that there are some people arguing that there is a fourth angel's message in the book of Revelations that we're ignoring. Others that are like, Lexan, that is the second angel repeating what is there in Revelation 18. So we don't know. But Mfundisi is going to come through and tell us, was that a fourth angel Or is it a repetition of the second angel? Remember, we're doing about all things the third angel's message.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.